Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's regular, and the guy who really does set us straight, Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. We love you, Ken, and welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Okay, so let's talk about Trump in upstate New York. You know, I got a thesis, and that is that he can't go to New York, but he can come upstate, and there are three congressional seats up there which could determine whether or not the House flips.
Yeah, and the reality is that, you know, Trump is not popular overall in New York, but he is popular in pockets of upstate, and that's what they're trying to capitalize on. And, you know, we know that there are at least three seats upstate. You've got the Stefanik seat, you've got the Faso seat, you've got the Tenney seat, and even the Syracuse seat. There's a number of seats that are in play, let's put it that way. And so they're hoping that Trump can motivate Republicans to come out.
So those seats are going to be crucial, because I think a lot of people know, I've written about this, but I think a lot of people know that the only way Trump is going to be held responsible after 2018 is if at least one other institution of government with oversight powers is Democratic. So it seems to me you can argue about the substantive issues all you want, but it does come down to that. I think it's a powerful argument, and those three seats up there are incredibly important.
And New York is going to play a role, because I think they need something like 24 seats to flip the House. And if you have three of those, anywhere from three to five to six coming from New York, that's significant. So Trump knows that, which is why this was his trip here, and he's back. Tenney, he's back Stefanik. You're going to see him back all these candidates. And it's also why Cuomo has set up a PAC to raise money for the congressional races.
Now, Ken Lovett, you know that Trump and Cuomo are not being very nice to each other right now, to say the least. And Cuomo said America isn't that great. Now, he is getting pilloried for that from the Republicans, but he says, hey, we're not going back to the KKK and things like that. That's pretty powerful stuff.
It is. And what really Cuomo meant to say, or was trying to say, was, look, you know, Trump keeps saying make America great again. And he's saying, when was it great? When, you know, with slavery, with civil rights issues, with anti-women, you know, issues. So that's what he meant to say. But how he said it came out so horrific. You were going to see this in ads by Mark Molinaro. The Republicans are going to use it. If Cuomo runs for president, you're going to see it used by all his opponents. Basically, he said, you know, riffing off of the Make America Great Again comment, you know, or theme of Trump, Cuomo said America was never really that great to begin with. And that is really not a smart thing for a politician to say, because it's easily picked up. It's a soundbite that could come back to really hurt him.
Especially if he's going to run for president of the United States. I mean, in New York, he might get away with it, but, you know, that could really hurt him.
It really could. And you will see that in ads. You will see people bring that up against him already. Mark Molinaro, you know, is using it, the Republican candidate for governor. You're going to see it used a lot. Now, there will be people who get what he was trying to say or agree with him. You know, Mary Gay of the New York Times editorial board tweeted out, I'm sure there are a lot of black people who know exactly what he's talking about.
Sure.
But certainly you don't usually hear politicians in America say that America has never really been great to begin with.
I wanted to ask you something. You know, I live over the border in Massachusetts, and the governor there is, I think, the most popular governor in the country, Charlie Baker. He is what we could call a Republicrat. You know, he takes Democratic issues and he rides them, you know, and he's there. Now we have a guy who's running for governor on the Republican ticket, Mark Molinaro, who I've always liked and considered to be a fair representative of a more liberal Republican side, but he's not playing that role right now. Is that a mistake?
I'm not really sure what role he's playing right now. He's really, when you try to press him on different issues, he's pro-gun control, but he won't really talk about the SAFE Act that much. You ask him about abortion and, you know, he's pro-life or, you know, he's anti-abortion, but he won't try to roll back the laws. So, he hasn't been able to be pressed on a lot of issues as of yet, but for him to run, he's somehow got to keep his base, which is the Republican base. But in New York, that's not enough. And I do think he's trying to be a more populist. I think he's trying to talk about issues that everyone can agree on, whether it's education or whether it's the handling of the disabled, you know, which you don't usually hear candidates talk about. He has. Special needs people. I think he's trying, but first of all, he's got to raise a lot of money. And most of the focus right now is on Cuomo versus Cynthia Nixon or Nixon versus Cuomo in the upcoming September 13th primary. That's where all the attention is. So I don't think he's been getting a lot of traction yet anyway.
Right now, it doesn't look like he has a good chance to beat Cuomo. I mean, it's that simple. That's my assessment. What does he need to do to turn it around?
Well, one thing that would help him is if Cynthia Nixon, if she loses the Democratic primary, which the polls have her down 30 points, and we can discuss the polls if you'd like, but the polls have her down 30 points. If Cynthia Nixon loses the primary, the best thing that could happen for Mark Molinaro is she stays on the Working Families Party line, which she has, which is a progressive line. That would draw votes away from Cuomo, as would the Green. Some of the other parties, and that would mean that Mark Molinaro wouldn't need 50% to win. He would need 45%, 42%, 44%, something like that. So that's his best case scenario and probably his best pathway. Also, you know, if the governor, who has really shown himself to be gaffe prone during this campaign, it hasn't killed him yet, but things like, you know, America was never great in the first place, you know, you keep adding to those kind of gaffes, and there have been others in the campaign so far, then maybe he has an outside chance. But certainly it's an uphill battle, and I think he knows it, and I think the hope is that on his part that he raises enough money to get his message out and that Cuomo does something that would really come back to haunt him.
So let's talk about Cynthia Nixon and the Working Families Party. From the very beginning, you know, you're the quintessential insider. You know, you speak to the working families bureaucracy and all, Lipton and others. And they have said if she doesn't win the primary, she should get off of our ticket because otherwise Molinaro might win. And I have said, no, I think she should stay on. I think it should be an honest election. I don't think this manipulation is a good idea. Do you think they'll get her off?
It's unclear. It's unclear what she'll want to do. And you know, Bill Lipton, the head of the Working Families Party in New York, he has said a lot of it will be up to her. You know, will she want to run a campaign even though she just lost the primary if she loses the primary? Is that something she's interested in doing? Will she have the fire in the belly to do that? Or will just having her name on the ballot, you know, attract enough anti-Cuomo votes? But, you know, those votes will have other people if they need to go somewhere. But don't forget, it's important for the Working Families Party. They need to get at least 50,000 votes on the governor's line in November to remain on the ballot as a guaranteed party for the next 4 years. And the more votes they get, the higher up on the ballot they would be. So having Cynthia Nixon would probably get them a lot of votes that they need to not only stay on the ballot, but move up on the ballot. So I think they would like that. And then how does the Working Families Party go back to Cuomo? They've endorsed him the last two times. The first time, basically, they were in trouble, were having some legal issues, and they begged him to take the line. And last time, he had to beg them and needed Bill de Blasio, the New York City mayor, to help close the deal. This time, they've not only endorsed Cynthia Nixon, but they've really gone after Cuomo personally. And I don't know how, you know, it would be one thing if they went with Nixon and she lost the primary and they say, okay, but now we want the governor. He's done a lot of the things we like. But in this case, you know, they've basically called him a hypocrite and a phony, and they've really gone after him hard. I don't know how you piece that back together and whether even the governor would want it. On the one hand, it would guarantee him that these votes aren't being siphoned away. On the other, he's trying to kill them as well.
And then to complicate the matter, you have the whole issue of the lieutenant governor and the Working Families Party, a little bit obscure. But why don't you explain that to us?
Well, right now you have a lieutenant governor primary that's a lot closer, according to the polls, than the governor's race. You've got Kathy Hochul, Cuomo's lieutenant governor, and challenging her is City Councilman Jumaane Williams, who is, he's a progressive. He's got the Working Families Party line as well. Now, what happens if he wins the Democratic line? I mean, then Cuomo would have to run on the same ticket. And unlike the primary where the lieutenant governor runs alone, the lieutenant governor and governor run as a ticket in the general election. The last time we saw something like that was back when Mario Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo's father, was governor, and he was running for governor, and he wanted Carl McCall to be his lieutenant governor. But Al Del Bello from Westchester County won. And really, Mario had no time for him, gave him no attention, barely gave him an office, and Del Bello quit out of boredom after 2 years. You could have a similar thing here if Williams wins the primary. It also puts Cuomo in a tricky position because he's got other lines, the Women's Equality Act and the Independence Party, where he's running with Hochul. But those votes won't count toward his Democratic tally if there's a separate lieutenant governor. So you would run the risk that if Jumaane Williams does win in the September 13th Democratic primary, does Cuomo then have to somehow manage to dump Hochul from those other minor lines so Williams can get on and all those votes can count for him?
Yeah, and Cuomo has not been kind with anybody who wants to take a Working Families line, including in the Attorney General's race, by basically saying, they didn't endorse me, so you can't take that line. Isn't that right?
Yeah, he despises the Working Families Party. He would like to crush them. He'd like to see them go out of existence. But if it benefits him, he'll make the political decision he has to make. But it'll be interesting because Jumaane Williams says he has no interest in being a team player with Cuomo. He says, if he runs and wins, he will, credit the governor when needed, but he'll also serve as a voice from within the administration to challenge the governor if need be on progressive issues. So, that's something I'm sure Andrew Cuomo does not want and will do anything. And you're seeing it. He's helping Hochul raise money. They're running ads. They're really going after Williams hard in a way you never really see in a lieutenant governor's race.
Yeah. So, Ken Lovett, you mentioned something before I wanted to talk to you about. And that was, you said, we could talk about the polls. Obviously, you had something in mind. What do you got?
Yeah, a while back I wrote a column that the polls this year are going to be difficult to, we'll see. You've got such an outcry against President Trump. You've got this progressive movement, this movement on the left that we don't know who's going to come out. A primary is a low turnout election normally. But here you have a lot of people who are first-time voters who may be getting involved, who weren't involved in the past, and it's unclear if the polls will pick them up. And we saw a little bit about stuff about that in the congressional races where, Ocasio-Cortez beat Joe Crowley, the longtime Queens power broker for Congress, and the polls, an internal poll for Crowley had him up 35 points 3 weeks before the race, but she ended up beating him by like 15. And there were other polls that were wrong as well. So I'm not sure the models work anymore in terms of picking up young voters, in terms of picking up people who have never really been involved. And if that's the case, that could help Nixon, although a statewide race is certainly not the same as a congressional race. It's much harder, and Cuomo does have a big lead. But it's unclear if the polls are picking up the type of people who are going to show up for the primaries.
And, of course, nothing happens until after Labor Day. That's when people get energized about elections. So those polls are going to be more important, I suspect. Ken Levitt, I wanted to ask you about the free tuition program. With great drama, Cuomo announces a free tuition program for middle class, basically, kids and poorer kids. Now it turns out that a lot of people who were thought to be eligible are not getting that money. What's going on?
Well, there's a lot. Yeah, a report came out that showed a high percentage of people, especially at CUNY schools, who are not getting it. Either they don't qualify because really it's a thing of last resort. If you already are getting free tuition, so to speak, through the state tuition assistance program, or you get Pell Grants from the feds, this is meant to supplement it. So, but there's also a lot of requirements, including the credits you need to take. You need to be a full-time student taking 30 credits a year. And for a lot of people who have to work or can't afford it, they're not meeting that criteria, so they're rejected from the program. So critics of the program say it's not really a free tuition program for all, that it's only limited to a small, small percentage. And they'd like to see changes to address that. The Cuomo people say it's working as they want.
But the headline is that people aren't getting it who think that they deserve it, and that doesn't help Cuomo. It makes it look hypocritical.
It does, and you know, we'll see what kind of issue it is, because, yes, this one report came out and there were stories about it, but Cuomo is running ad after ad. I mean, the guy spent $7 million over the last month on ads from his campaign account, and one of those ads is promoting this free college tuition. So whether, you know, whether the report can make headway in the public consciousness, you know, remains to be seen, because the governor really is now. You're seeing him spend money. We haven't seen him spend in a primary ever. 4 years ago, you know, he didn't spend that much. And now he's already spent $7 million or more.
Well, now, Ken, what's happening with the Board of Elections? And it could either be B-O-R-E-D or B-O-A-R-D of elections in New York State. Never a distinguished group. They're attracting some unfavorable publicity. What's happening?
Well, the one thing that came out of the governor's controversial decision to pull the plug back in 2013 on the Moreland Commission, which was investigating corruption in state government, including it started looking into the governor's actions, and that's when he ended up pulling the plug. He did it as part of a deal with the legislature to create an independent enforcement council within the Board of Elections. The Board of Elections was always criticized as a do-nothing board that, despite a lot of crimes that were uncovered by the prosecutors, federal mostly, the Board of Elections never did anything. And so they got this enforcement council who has been doing things, has been ruffling feathers, and now they really just scaled back some of her power. She needs to really give them more information, the board itself, on the investigation she wants to launch. They have to sign off, which they've had to sign off on her subpoenas, but now she has to give them a lot more information in order to get that sign off. And she feels it's going to tie her hands, and a lot of government reformers feel it's going to tie her hands. And the one real watchdog that's been doing something in Albany has, you know, now, of course, they reduce her powers.
So, Ken, bring us up to date on something that an awful lot of the inside crowd is watching, and that is, do the Democrats finally, after all these years of having so many Democratic voters in New York State, do they finally take the upper house?
Good question. I mean, things are looking good for them. They're very confident. A lot of people watching it think this is going to be the year it happens. I mean, the last time it happened was 2009 and 10. They had control, but they lost at the next election. It looks that way, but anything can happen. As someone always says to me, never underestimate the Democratic ability to snap defeat from the jaws of victory. And in this case, though, you know, a lot of they're hoping that the anti-Trump blue wave, they're hoping there is a blue wave, and that's going to help roll them into office.
But as you pointed out, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ken.
No, I was just going to say the races to watch are really on Long Island and Westchester County. And even Orange County, there's a pretty good one. But a lot of this is going to take place on Long Island, the big battles.
And then one of the funnier stories, I think, or maybe not so funny, is that there's an attempt to start a hip-hop party and get them a line on the ballot. That obviously could hurt Cuomo.
Yeah, there's a group of hip-hop-linked people who are looking to create a ballot. They're petitioning. They only have till August 21st, I think it is, so it's an uphill battle. They have to get 15,000 signatures statewide, but they say they want to do it, and they want to focus it on urban issues. They feel that urban issues have not been addressed. Really, the person who is spearheading the whole thing is a congressional candidate taking on Adriano Espiat. She's a Republican, and but she says that because the African-American community, as she says, mostly goes and blindly goes for the Democrats, the Republicans haven't felt a need to address the community. And she feels because of that, the Democrats take the African-American vote for granted. So they're hoping by creating a line and focusing on urban issues that maybe they can get their issues addressed more by both parties.
And how do you think Cuomo feels about that?
Right now, I don't think they're giving it a lot of thought unless they get enough signatures to get on the ballot. And then we will see what happens. But don't forget, for Andrew Cuomo, his popularity rests within the minority communities, particularly the African-American community. That's where he's most popular. And so anything that draws votes away from him could be a real serious issue.
And then finally,
The party, by the way, they've approached a rapper Busta Rhymes, and also sought LL Cool J to see if they would run for governor, but neither have said they would yet.
Yeah, I got a minute, but as you know, Sean Patrick Maloney is running for two offices, or at least he looks that way. He wants to run for Congress, his old congressional seat in the Hudson Valley, and he also wants to be attorney general. Is that legal?
Well, so far, the courts have said yes, because he hasn't been nominated for two offices. You're not allowed to run for two offices in New York at the same time. The Republicans challenged this, saying that that's exactly what he's doing. Maloney has argued, and one court has upheld it, that his argument that is, if he wins the Democratic Attorney General's race and has the nomination, he will then decline the congressional race.
It's always great to talk to our wonderful friend, even when he's on vacation and comes on and does what he needs to do with us, Ken Lovett of the New York Daily News, easily the best reporter in Albany and maybe anywhere else. Ken Lovett, thank you so much for being with us. So appreciative.
Anytime. Be well.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.